welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. And I'm excited and pleased to share a subject. It's been quite a while since I've talked about it, but the vow of the Nazarite. And as I shared, as I began the message yesterday, that everything that is mentioned in the Old Testament just foreshadows a spiritual truth or principle that God is from the heart of God. He intended that for our example. The scripture clearly says that what happened to them, the things they went through, was for our admonition. They were examples for us, not just in terms of the negative things, the disobedience, the unbelief, but the principles that God wanted to establish for His people, the parameters, the guidelines, the things that were on His heart. And so one of the things He spoke to Moses in Numbers, the sixth chapter, was that a man or a woman, if they were moved on by the Lord, if they wanted to, they could take a voluntary vow called the vow of the Nazarite. And some of the Old Testament characters like Samuel, like Samson, John the Baptist, they were Nazarites for life, which means they fulfilled the three requirements of that law, that vow, if you will, of the law, which was abstinence from wine or strong drink, and even grapes or the dried grapes, that nothing of the fruit of the vine, their hair must not be cut, and they must not touch or come near a dead body. And these, while they're natural physical things, they indicate an entire surrender of the heart and life to God. And that is also a freedom from the distraction of earthly ties, things that normally the average normal person would partake of. And so the important thing to understand, this was a voluntary vow. It was not required, but it is a special vow. And there's a reference made in Leviticus, the 27th chapter, verse 2. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when a man, in this case, or a woman, shall make a singular vow, a specific vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And they go on, if they're male or female, their particular age, it would be the estimation for the shekels of the service of the sanctuary. But the point is, there's a reference to a specific vow, and this would include, of course, the vow of the Nazarite. And I believe today, even though it's something we may read in our biblical readings throughout the year, it doesn't have much significance for us, but I believe it does have a special message or a meaning for us today. Jesus said that He would that we were not hot or cold. Remember, He spoke to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, but that if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of My mouth. And Jesus also said that there's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold Christians, and His heart is especially warmed by the 100-fold Christian, someone that places their relationship with God, with the Lord, with Jesus, as the most important relationship in their life. Now, to the natural, the carnal mind, that sounds, well, that's not very loving. No, no, no. If you love God with all of your heart, and He's the most important person in your life, then every relationship you have will be touched by the light, the revelation, the love, the warmth, the joy of God's very person. And it would be, if you can put Him first, it's a matter of priorities, that then all of your life will be enriched in terms of your circumstances because you have his mind and you're putting him first. The psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. He is our first love. Isn't that true? And so it's a special vow. And remember in the first chapter of John, Nathanael, when Philip was telling him about, you know, we found the Messiah, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And that was, of course, Jesus's ordinary residence. That's where he grew up before he started his public ministry. And so Philip answered, come and see, judge for yourself. So is there any profit in consecrating one's life to the service of the Lord? There are many skeptics today, those who are lukewarm, even in church circles, as to can anything good come out of the Nazareth of a separated life? That, you know, we don't need to be aesthetic, that God wants us to be joyful. There's freedom in the life of a Christian, and there is total freedom. There is liberty, but Paul says don't use that liberty as a stumbling block to others. You've got to have the mind of the Lord. You've got to look at things. You can't read the Bible from a carnal perspective, a fleshly perspective, because just like the unsaved, they just see it as contradictions. Doesn't make sense. But the spiritual understand all things. Proverbs talks about that. Why? Because you get it. You understand the things of God. So, having said all that, there's much that we can learn from the vow of the Nazarite. First of all, it wasn't compulsory. It wasn't something God demanded. It was not like, say, for example, the Sabbath principle. That was a commandment. He did not want his people to violate the rest that he desired for his people on the Sabbath. It was a principle God set in the beginning. On the seventh day after his creation, it said, God rested. This was something quite else. It was voluntary. Verse 2 in Numbers says, when either man or woman shall separate themselves. This was the actual text is Numbers 6, 1 through 8, which I shared yesterday. It says, when either a man or a woman shall separate themselves. So this was voluntary. It was not required by God. He does not force us in any wise to separate ourselves to his service. There are certain things that he's specific on, that he is unchanging and adamant, but this is something that is totally of our volition, of our choosing, our will. In Romans 12 and 1, through the Apostle Paul, the word says the Holy Ghost beseeches us. He's earnestly requesting of us that we will, what? Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. When we look at the sacrifice of what the Trinity did, the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus' suffering, his death, his glorious resurrection, this was all done for, out of love for us. Now, on making a vow, this is something very serious. God's word warns against making vows lightly. Once they are made, they are taken as binding. There is a reference in Numbers, the 30th chapter, verse 2. Verse 2, if a man vow or a woman vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, see, that's something very serious, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. And that also was true for a woman. If she was in her father's home, if the father heard it and didn't object, she was bound by it. Or if she was married, if her husband didn't object when he heard it, she was bound by it. So it's the principle, let your word be yea, yay and yay. In other words, don't go back on the things you say. God is a God of his word. He hates lying. All liars have their part in the lake of fire. He is a God of truthfulness, and we as his children have also that same obligation to us to speak the truth in love, to speak the truth as much as we understand as we are able, not to be deceitful, not to lie. And so it was serious. And of course, to refrain from making a vow, that wasn't sinful. In verse 21 and 23, it says, when you make a vow to the Lord, you shall not be slack to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you refrain from vowing, this is scripture, it shall be no sin in you. You shall be careful to perform what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. So, it's not a light matter to pledge ourselves to do a particular work or commitment. And, you know, so often in today's world, one's word is not, you know, years ago, century ago, 75 years ago, a man's word was his bond. If he said he was going to do something, he was bound by integrity, by morality, to do it. Even today, with all kinds of signed contracts and all sorts of clauses to cut out any loophole, people still try to get out of doing what they said they do. And it's very important that we have to be people of integrity. We can't do things only when it suits our convenience. So many today run in and out of the Lord's work. They take a Sunday school class, they join a choir, become a member of a committee, and then take part only when it suits their convenience. It dishonors the Lord and is harmful and damages the church. The Lord will hold those who do such things responsible for their conduct. So, we don't have to make a vow, we don't have to make a promise, but if we do, we need to be children of our Heavenly Father and keep that word to the best of our ability. Now, sometimes things happen that we can't. God understands that, and we're excused from situations that are beyond our control. But if there's nothing holding us back, then we need to fulfill our word. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Okay, my friends. Well, my time is gone, and I need to bring this broadcast to a close, and we'll pick up tomorrow and continue on in this fascinating study of the vow of the Nazarite. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. I look forward to receiving your letters of prayer requests. Thank you for your prayers, your support, and know that I pray for you every day, my partners and my radio family. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.